Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
So, surprising when it came, but not really that surprising. Joe Biden's realization that the best chance that he had of beating Trump was to step down. But with only 107 days to Election Day, has he now handed the White House to his most bitter rival? Or is this what America wants? Anything but a rerun of the last election between two of the oldest politicians in the country. First this morning, I want to speak to Marion McKeown, Business Post's US correspondent. Marion, good morning. There's an awful lot of uncertainty here, but can you try and draw the best roadmap possible, please, to the Democratic Party National Convention on August the 19th, by which time they have to have a candidate?
I can certainly do my best, Philip. And, you know, they don't actually have to have a candidate by that date. There is a slim, and I would say very slim, possibility of a contested convention on the floor, which would be absolutely probably mayhem, but it's the least likely scenario. I think that at the moment, and this is just based on Democrats I've spoken to in the last 24 hours, Kamala Harris has a very, very strong advantage. A lot of prominent Democrats have got behind her. The most prominent of them is Congressman Jim Clyburn. Jim Clyburn is the South Carolina congressman who basically, but for him, Joe Biden would not be president. He turned around Biden's disastrous primary in 2020 by basically handing him South Carolina, reversing his fortunes and putting him on the path to the presidency. He has come out and said that he and the Congressional Black Caucus, there are 60 members, are behind Kamala Harris. They want Kamala Harris. And I think that if there is a move to shunt her to one side, there could be a real rupture within the Democratic Party, which is frankly the last thing they need at
the
moment.
It would look absolutely disastrous, of course, to be pushing a woman of mixed race, to the side. But that doesn't take account of the fact, does it, that there are other potentially much more dynamic and stronger candidates out there in the shape of people like Josh Shapiro, Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer.
I think you can discount the first two. There is really, Gavin Newsom has a national profile. He's a tough, smart politician. He's a terrific debater, but he is seen, this debate, this election will be lost or won in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And a California liberal, vineyard-owning, multimillionaire, elite guy with a slick suit and a slick haircut and a permatan is not who they are going to buy. They are going to buy, I would say, objectively, the strongest candidate would be Gretchen Whitmer. She's the governor of Michigan. She has an extraordinary political story, and she has held together a state that is bitterly polarized. It's 50% deep red MAGA and 50% bluish.
Has she not already endorsed Harris, though?
She has already, as I say, she has made it clear she doesn't want to wade into this. And I think that it's probably smart. So really, the ground is being paved, I think, for Harris. Now, people think she's weak. A lot more than usual will depend on who she selects as a running mate. And I think that's where, if she is selected, that's where the interest will lie. It's just that at this point, as I said, she has Biden's endorsement. Interestingly, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries and Barack Obama have not yet endorsed her. But one of the Democrats I spoke to on the Hill said this is more because they are seen as the sort of the puppet masters behind Biden's ouster, and they don't want to be seen as maneuvering in somebody and thwarting the process that is supposed to be a grassroots process. The nomination is supposed to come from the grassroots, from the 3,900 delegates, and they don't want to be seen as imposing a candidate at this stage, and that's why they've pulled back. But it does seem like she's rapidly picking up endorsements. And one of the extraordinary things, Philip, is the money. In the last, in the 7 hours after Joe Biden announced that he wasn't going to run again, the Democrats raised, without even having a clear candidate, almost $50 million. That has broken every record in the book. And it just shows the relief that people believe that regardless of that anybody will be better than Biden, basically, at this stage, that the Democrats are now back in the race. The game is on. And, you know, I said, it's not that everybody's enthusiastic about Harris, but she picked up immediately all of the Louisiana, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, New Hampshire, and a couple of other states as well, all immediately said, we're giving her all our delegates. So she's got to get, there are 3,900 delegates in total. She's got to get well over 1,900 to win. Biden had 3,896. He was four short of the absolute total. She's already got several hundred in her pocket. She is going to be very hard to beat. And for anybody else who's out there looking at it, would you go up against her and just have a battle and then maybe be defeated anyway?
Let's say that that is what happens on the Democratic Party side of the House. Let's just talk about how Trump might be feeling this morning. Crooked Joe Biden was not fit to run for president and is certainly not fit to serve, and never was. Was his reaction to the news that Biden was stepping down and that Kamala Harris was most likely to take up the baton there? Do you detect in that a little bit of a sense of, God, I wish I was still running against Joe Biden?
Oh, my God, absolutely. The whole, you know, I was at the convention last week for 4 days, and this was, they were convinced, every single one of the 50,000 people who came into Milwaukee for this convention, especially Trump and the people around him, were absolutely convinced that going from the disastrous Biden debate performance to the other disastrous performances to Trump's near miss with a bullet that he had won. They were celebrating this convention as those were the inauguration. They could see no difference because, as far as they were concerned, Trump was already the next president. And this, his whole game was that he's this virile, masculine, swaggering guy, this tough brute of a leader who's up against this weak, frail, doddering old granddad who just doesn't even know what day of the week it is. And that was their pitch. And everything they did, from having the cage fighters on stage to having the wrestlers to having, you know, the whole thing was about we're fighters, we're tough, we're blokes, we're mad. And, you know, they really were. This was, and even picking J.D. Vance, they felt that they didn't even have to reach out to the more moderate sort of people who were wavering on Trump and who might have gone with a decent Democratic candidate. They felt, look, they had the whole thing sewn up. Now they have, their game plan has been scrambled. They think that next to Biden, they would rather run against Harris if they had to. But there is a contrast between, you have a 58, 59-year-old relatively young, a black woman who's a former prosecutor running against an old, corrupt, 78-year-old convicted felon. And the Democrats believe that they can make that contrast. And particularly, as I say, if Harris's running mate is going to be so important, because she is seen as a lightweight by a lot of people. She's seen as somebody who doesn't have the gravitas and who, when it comes to foreign policy, we saw how Biden, a lot of people are really critical, and I think deservedly so, of his, the way he has handled Gaza and the way he has failed to rein in Netanyahu. But they saw what he did with NATO. They saw what he did with Ukraine, Russia, and they think that his foreign policy credentials are good. She doesn't have any. So they're looking at somebody like possibly Mark Kelly, who I think would be the strongest candidate personally. He's the Arizona, very popular Democratic senator in Arizona. Took John McCain's seat, first time a Democrat won it since 1962, and went on to rewin it very, very easily. He's also a former astronaut. He is a bona fide American war hero, chest full of medals, foreign policy experience. They're also looking at Bill McRae and a couple of other people as well. But we're getting ahead of ourselves here. But well, I think that her running mate will be incredibly important.
Let's just consider one last issue here that might in some ways compensate for the absence of economic and foreign policy experience. How big an issue in this presidential election do you think abortion is likely to be? Women's reproductive health and the attempts to reinstate Roe v. Wade? Because her credentials, her position on this is very clear and seems to align with majority opinion, opinion that cuts right through party lines.
This is her biggest strength. This is her biggest strength. This is, you know, I spoke with one Democrat who said, this is the year of the woman. It is so apt and so that. And I think this is why Democrats feel it's got to be a woman. You know, it and most of them feel it should be and will be Kamala Harris, but they feel it's got to be a woman because of the issues. And Harris has been out there on the women's reproductive rights issue, and she's been very, very effective on that. I've seen her a couple of times, saw her in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago. She was really good on that and confident and was hitting her stride. And I think that this is a huge issue. It's a huge issue in states like Kansas and in really deep red Republican states. It's a huge issue everywhere. And I think that there is a feeling that you've got these, like J.D. Vance, this guy who is deeper MAGA than Trump, if that were possible, who's talking about no exceptions for women who want abortions, not in the case of rape, not in the case of incest, nothing, and that they want to drag America back to 1954 or even further back, and that she is a modern, as we said, you know, she's a prosecutor, she was, you know, and she has quite a charm about her. Now, she doesn't, I think that there is the perception that she is a lightweight, that she lacks gravitas and experience, but when she comes into her own on certain issues, she can be very, very impressive. But I think, look, a lot of people are voting just, they don't want Trump. A lot of the country, yes, he has the MAGA base absolutely locked up. That is non-transferable. But the moderates, the never Trumper Republicans, the ones who voted for Nikki Haley even, do not want Donald Trump back in the White House. And they've seen the scary agenda that's coming with them. And I think they will happily take a Kamala Harris with a strong running mate over a Donald Trump. So I think Democrats, certainly the ones I've spoken to, feel it's wide open now. That it's wide open. They were in despair a week ago. And now they feel really buoyed. And as I said, the biggest sign of that was the surge of money that came in the second Biden announced that he was stepping aside.
Well, let's talk to a Democrat. TJ Molloy is a former chairperson of Democrats Abroad Ireland. Good morning, TJ.
Morning, Philip.
So what do you think is going to happen? Is she the apostolic heir apparent?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see any sort of resistance or everyone's lining up behind her. I think you'd be a fool to go against her. No one will, that I could see, other than maybe I had the ball out there. But she will be our nominee, I think, unquestionably. We've raised $47 million in 7 hours last night once it came to be. And the state of Tennessee, I think one of the Carolinas, and the state of Louisiana, their Democratic delegation, have already announced they will be voting for Kamala Harris. So It's going to happen.
Okay, shaky economic experience, uncertain foreign policy experience, pretty much anonymous for the last 4 years. Is this really the best candidate that the Democrat Party can come up with?
Well, she's our vice president, she's a very successful politician, attorney general of California, a senator from California. You know, has she been president? No. But if you look at the foreign policy experience of Donald Trump, I think the Biden administration, which she was a key part of, lines up pretty fantastically. You know, she's the vice president. She's going to bring the entire gravitas of Biden's presidency, which has been hugely successful, and not the baggage. Joe Biden had one job to do in that debate, was to reassure everyone. He didn't even have to win it. He failed to do so, unfortunately. And, you know, did he have a chance in November? I think he absolutely had a chance, but I think it was, you know, it was almost Trump's to lose.
How done a deal is this, though? How much confidence does your party have in her if Barack Obama is holding his judgment for the moment?
I think for the moment is the key phrase there. Barack Obama will be endorsing Kamala Harris for president at some point, whether that's in 3 days or 3 weeks at the convention, 4 weeks at the convention. The entire party is coming together behind Harris.
It doesn't say much for his confidence in her that he's not doing it now, though, does it?
Well, it would say quite a bit for his respect for Joe Biden and the momentous decision, one of the most momentous decisions in modern political history in the United States, that he's respecting Joe's judgment. And as Marion had said there, he doesn't want to be seen to be pushing him out the door, which is, you know, this all has to be very measured. And we have to respect the president and the momentous decision he's made and the great respect he has for the United States and for our process. And I mean, can you imagine Donald Trump ever doing a similar thing. You know, it just, it goes to show what a class act we have with Joe Biden and the great thanks we should have for him.
Errol Morcoach is the Vice Chair of External Relations with Republicans Overseas. He joins us on the line now. Errol, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. Kamala Harris, a woman, mixed race, young, an attorney. She highlights by way of contrast, doesn't she, that your party's candidate is old, increasingly doddery, a race baiter, sexist, a convicted criminal who is incapable of telling the truth. Oh dear, Errol, I'm afraid that that line really isn't up to scratch, and I do want to hear your answer to that question. So what we might do
I
is just...
I think we're losing the line here. Can you hear me?
Okay, we're getting you a little bit better
there.
I
can hear you. I can hear you perfectly now. Okay.
Okay, just look, start
Kamala
again,
Harris,
will you?
You know, yes, Kamala Harris, she seems like a nice lady, but fact of the matter is she's a... the most dislikable candidate in the Democrat Party. My home state of California, where she was a senator, she couldn't even get 0.6% of the vote. You know, she is young compared to the last two candidates, but, you know, age isn't an issue, as the Democrats let us know for the last 4 years with Mr. Biden. And certainly we're not worried about Donald Trump going up against Kamala Harris. I think that the younger person in this race is going to be J.D. Vance, the 39-year-old millennial who's the vice presidential candidate under Donald Trump. But it certainly is a contrast. An attorney is never a compliment. You don't want to have a government run by lawyers. That's never a good thing. But, you know, the fact of the matter is she's going to have a tough time bringing the Democrat Party together just because she's never been able to do it. She's the least popular vice president in history, and she's going to come absolutely with the baggage of Joe Biden's candidacy or presidency. She was the border czar, failed at that. She was the AI czar, can't imagine what she did for AI. So there's a very nice situation where the next few days she'll get the very positive press releases. And honestly, on a personal note, as an American, I'm so grateful that at least Kamala Harris or anybody besides Joe Biden for a national security standpoint is running. But in the end of the day, she doesn't really have the support of her own party. And that's being shown by the lack of endorsements from people like Pelosi, people like Obama, people who got Joe out of the way. And so it remains to be seen. I think, you know, Gretchen Whitmer or Gavin Newsom from California, Whitmer from Michigan, these are much more capable actual politician, statesman. And Kamala Harris simply is somebody who's not taken seriously by the majority of Americans.
She does, as you say yourself, stand on the record of Joe Biden's 3.5 years in office, after which there are more people in work than at any point in US history. There was a $2 trillion package to plug the gaps that the Trump presidency left in the wake of the COVID pandemic. It's the biggest ever climate package anywhere in the world that has brought tens of thousands of jobs to red states. That's quite a platform to be standing on, isn't it?
Well, certainly you're not insinuating that Donald Trump is responsible for the pandemic where everybody was locked in their houses.
No, just how he handled it.
And the situation when people got their jobs back, there's been a lot of very cooked up jobs numbers. The fact of the matter is that real wages are down. Inflation is decimating the middle class, decimating the working class. Illegal immigration is suppressing wages of our most vulnerable citizens. As an immigrant to the United States of America, it has been one of the worst 4 years for real people. If you don't have money in the stock market, which is moving with inflation, which is only about 10% of Americans, the real people in this country have not seen those benefits. Yes, they can print money and create jobs. Keep in mind, the jobs they're creating are government jobs, okay? Government jobs aren't creating wealth, they're redistributing wealth. And while that's all well and good, that's nothing to stand on when we're a country that prides itself in, you know, individual capitalism, entrepreneurship, building new businesses. And that's why you see somebody like Donald Trump coming in and all of a sudden Silicon Valley, the crypto people, people who are kind of the future thinkers of this country, the real people we need to drive innovation to defeat, you know, not our enemies, but to win this century like we did the last one. That's what we're looking for.
TJ Malloy, if you have a problem with where America is at, with where it's going, as very many people do, Kamala Harris is not going to be the candidate for them.
Well, excuse me.
The Democratic Party was handed a lifeline yesterday. And right now, you know, Trump is probably ruined that he picked J.D. Vance. So much baggage there. I think a much more dynamic vice presidential pick for Trump would have been Nikki Haley. Trump is not going to have problems getting white boys from Ohio to vote for him. He's going to have a lot of problems now getting suburban housewives and people who are very worried about the right to choose, you know, to vote for him. And I think we just went from, you know, we have to remember, Joe Biden's numbers did not collapse. He lost 2 or 3 points, but that base was still there. And I think we're right back to a 50-50 race. And if, you know, Kamala Harris is capable of unifying this party, which seems to be happening in under 24 hours now that it's becoming largely unified, it's going to be, you know, slight advantage, I think, to Democrats. Very slight. I mean, we're talking about a razor edge election once again. But I think we're going to have 20 to 30% increased turnout by African Americans, which is a huge part of the Democratic base. I think it's really a big game changer. If she can unite the party, I'm confident she can.
All right. Thank you very much. Certainly not 50-50 if the polls are correct. It's more like 47-53, but we will see where this goes from here. TJ Molloy, Democrats Abroad, and Errol Moore, Coach Republicans Overseas. Thank you both very much.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.